What is our mitzvah for this week? What do you guys think?
Honoring your brother.
What? Murdering your brother. Yeah, lo tirsa. You said murdering?
Honoring a sibling.
Oh, honoring a sibling. That's a good call. That's a good call. Okay. we're not going with that, but it's a good suggestion. Are there other options that might come up in the parsha?
Keep it av.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Not
lie. Gneva sas. Good. Maybe Gneva or Gezel in general. Gneva sas is a good one. So far, no. Sure, if we have multiple options, they could be a good option. I didn't choose it. Okay, so what we're going to go with, and this actually fits nicely with the overall, I guess, theme of Sefer Bereishis, some of the other ones would have been also. We're going to talk about Pidyon HaBen, about the concept of Bechor, the Bechorah. So Jonathan Sachs made the point, Zatzal made the point, that Bereishis as a Sefer is not about law, it's not about rules, it's about relationship. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. And he made the point that Judaism in general prioritizes relationships almost as a religious avoda, as a service. That their conception of religion was a relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is played out between husband and wife, between father and son, between siblings. The entire Yosef story takes up the second half of the Sefer. So, as much as we've noticed that there's not so much, let's say, so many mitzvot which are learned out specifically from Sefer Bereishis, anything which has this, or highlights this aspect of relationships, fathers and sons, and things like that, is important to maybe look into, to understand, and see what that adds to our understanding of what Jewish religious life is supposed to highlight for us. So the idea of the Chorah, the Gemara Kedushin, Chaf, Testament Aleph, lists five mitzvot, classic, mitzvot Ta'av, Aladin. For either a father, mitzvah that a father takes care of for the son, or the father does on behalf of the son. What are the five? Bris. Torah. Skip the second one.
Three.
So learning a trade is five, so we have two and four. Missing numbers two and number four. Pidyon HaBen is why we're on this, and what's number four? Lasio Isha, to marry him off. All right, so basically from bris in chronological order, bris, pidyon haben, talmud tos, to teach the son Torah, to get him married, and then to teach him a trade, and there's a sixth possible one to teach him how to swim very good, be able to navigate the vicissitudes of life. So those are the... What? That should be more or less chronological order. Maybe the trade should be first. Trade should be first. That's a good point. But I think the way it's listed in the Mishnah, I think it is actually marriage before trade. That's a good point. So the classic question which is asked about really every single one of these mitzvot is, who is the mitzvah on? Is this a mitzvah that the son has to do, that the father takes care of for a certain amount of time? Or is this a mitzvah that the father has to do and only transfers to the son later, if at all? So we can go one by one. This is going to be our intro. What about bris? What do you say about bris milah? We actually spoke about bris milah a couple of weeks ago. So it's principally a father's mitzvah, but then transfers to the age of 13? Okay, what else might it be? It could always be the father. It could be. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Well, it could also be always the son, that it's really the son's mitzvah. Obviously, he's incapable of doing that, so we ask the father to take care of it for the first 13 years, but really it's the son's responsibility, and he really steps into his own once it's shy, once that's possible. Okay, so we can see it pretty clearly by bris. And we spoke about there may actually be two elements to bris milah. There may be the historical element, the bris between Adam, between Avram and Hashem, and Avram and his family, Avram the Yitzchak, on the one hand, and the issue to be an Ariel, or the negative impact of being an Ariel, the perspective of being an Ariel, which we're trying to avoid, which also is built into to bris milah. So it could be that there are two aspects that are actually mapped onto these two perspectives. One is about the father, one is about the son. What about Pidyon HaBen? We'll skip that one and we'll discuss that in a minute. What about Talmud Torah? This one's interesting. Is Talmud Torah really the son's mitzvah that we ask the father to take care of in the beginning, or is it the father's mitzvah to teach his son? The father's mitzvah. Why? Well, what makes you say that there is an aspect of teaching in Talmud Torah? Oh, we have a pasuk. Very good. Vishinatam Levanacha. Is Vishinatam Levanacha ever quoted as an individual mitzvah? Or is it possible that it's part of a broader framework? Well? Did you hear Leibowitz talk about this? Beautiful. And the one he just posted, the rabbi's desk. I thought that was such an incredible style. It was a Leibowitz just posted from the rabbi's desk on learning versus teaching. A guy who teaches at Dafyomi Shir for a couple of cycles already reached out to him and said, I feel like I could learn much better if I stopped teaching the daf and focused on my own learning. I'd be able to do Iyun and maybe see some Yerushalmis and see other areas of Torah. On the other hand, that would mean I had to give up the Shir. So do I prioritize learning my own Torah or teaching Torah to others? And Rav Leibowitz did a beautiful job going through what exactly is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Does it include teaching, not just learning? It was a beautiful style, and Rav Leibowitz is always fantastic. So the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he actually includes not only learning but also teaching. Lilmod ulalamed. Rosenzweig has a great shir on this by Ravari Berman's investiture. When he first became president to YU, he gave a beautiful shir on what is the most, what is the essence of Talmud Torah, talking about lilmod ulalamed, to learn in order to give over, in order to teach, in order to spread those values. If you want to find that on YU Torah, a beautiful, beautiful piece. But, so at least for the Rambam, learning is also giving over. The father's chiyuv of Talmud Torah includes giving over specifically to his children. There's an element of Tadar Talmidim, there's an element of giving over to Golchai Yisrael. The strongest chiyuv is to give over to a son. That'd be the father's element to Talmud Torah. We can also see intuitively the other side, that we want a child, we want this child to have his first exposure to learning, that's his chiyuv of Talmud Torah, setting the stage for him to be able to learn in the future, and the sooner we can begin that, the sooner we can start that, the better. That'd be the kids chiyuv of Talmud Torah, which we're starting as early as makes sense, as early as we can. The Rambam says that talking to your kid, or teaching your kid Hebrew, teaching your kid Hebrew is a mitzvah kala. Is a simple, there's a light mitzvah, because that's what's going to lay the groundwork for him to be able to learn well. So you can be mekayim the mitzvah kala, even if you're not mekayim other ones. So that's Talmud Torah. What about marriage? Marriage, is that the father's obligation or the son's obligation? This one seems kind of obvious, no? Marriage is the son's obligation. The son has a chiyuv to get married. We spoke about Kedushin. When did we speak about Kedushin? Last week? What? So last, we did a while ago. So we did Kedushin. So assuming, let's say, that Kedushin is an individual, is a mitzvah on its own. So that seems to be most likely the kid's mitzvah, but it's actually funny, you can say it the other way. What happens, let's say I'm a father, I'm not going to say it about myself, let's say a person has children, he's been mekayim the mitzvah of Peruvu, he has a boy and a girl, he's been mekayim the mitzvah. Now what happens if chas v'shalom, either one of those children pass away before they have their own children? It retroactively cancels the father's kiyum of Peruvu. The father's Peruvu only is cemented when his kids have their own kids. So if we look at the mitzvah of Kedushin, for a father to get his son married, it could also be that that's the father's chiyuv. That's the father strengthening or cementing his own chiyuv of Peru Revu by getting his kid married, by bringing his kid towards having their own children, which cements his own chiyuv. So that's a very interesting one. Livelihood is more difficult in general, providing to make sure that he learns a trade or a skill, because we don't commonly identify that as a mitzvah. We call it mitzvah avol habein. This one doesn't seem to have a pasuk associated with it. It doesn't seem to count as part of the taryag. So in general, we have a little bit more difficulty with it. Rabbeinu Bechaya has a line in Shara HaBitachon in Chodesh HaLevavos where he says that there's a mitzvah of l'avdo l'shamra, being involved in the world, parnasa and creative, and whatever it is, there's l'avdo l'shamra. Quoting from Bereishis, that's a surprising pasuk, but at least it gives something. Well, Rabbeinu Bechaya in Chodesh HaLevavos. In Shar HaBitachon, I think Perek Gimel maybe. That's one possible option. The Rambam has the idea of Osik B'Yishuvah Shel Olam, when he talks about a gambler. The only things that a person should be involved in life is Divrei Chachma and Osik B'Yishuvah Shel Olam. But again, he doesn't really give me a pasuk to call that a mitzvah. So that one is a little bit more difficult to understand. Rav Mordechai Willig has a... I was in a shir for a year, the year that I had my first son, the year that I had Avram. So he had this mahalak, which stuck with me for a long time, I think because of that context. Says that these five mitzvot, the mitzvot Aval Ben, we see that a father actually makes a party as he accomplishes each one. So Bris Milah is meant to be a suza. You should have fleishiks at the suza at 8 o'clock in the morning. Make sure you have some salami. That's kishmak. So the father makes a suza for the Bris Milah. The father makes a big suza at the Pidyon HaBen. That's good also. Now, what about the Talmud Torah? I forget. Maybe said that was maybe said that was the bar mitzvah. Maybe said that was bar mitzvah of bar septirani. Maybe forgot what he said about that one. But then he said for marriage. Marriage we generally identify as the son's celebration. He says, no, this is the father's party for being mekayim, his mitzvah of marrying off his kid, lasio isha. And how do we know what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, look at the guest list. How many people on the guest list are shayach to the son, to the couple just getting married? How many people are shayach to the father? And it's a great raya. At most weddings, pre-corona time, most weddings, you have 200 people, 300 people, 50 friends of the chasen and kala, 50 for 50 guys, 50 girls. A large majority of the people who come to a standard wedding are just friends of the parents from the community. Great raya that it's the father's party. I thought that was very nice. And again, livelihood is difficult to fit into this framework. Okay, that was a nice piece from Willig. My first son was born... So that his bris was Erev Pesach, which is like the worst possible day for a bris for a rabbi. There's too much going on. It's right before Pesach. So I was in Rav Willig's shir at the time, and Rav Willig said he would pay me to do the bris in his shul in Riverdale, because that would mean he doesn't need a siyum to deal with one of the minyanim, and he'd be able to be there. He tried to get to the bris of all his talmidim for the kids. He wasn't able to because he was busy in the shul. But if I could make it in Riverdale, then he would love to be able to go. I think he said he'd be able to pay me to be able to do that. So I said my in-laws were not interested. They live in Brooklyn and Flatbush, and they were not interested in trekking down to Riverdale on Erev Pesach. So we ended up doing it in Brooklyn. But for the he told me that I'm going to come for the Pidyon HaBen. And the trek from Washington Heights from Riverdale to Brooklyn is not a simple one. But he did. He came out for Avram's Pidyon HaBen. I was able to actually tell over this board his piece on the mitzvot of Avla Ben and the party that the father makes. I was able to work that into my Pidyon HaBen speech. So that was very exciting. And he was able to be there for it. So that was very nice. So let's talk a little bit about Pidyon HaBen. What exactly is the deal with Pidyon? How are we supposed to look at this mitzvah? We already went through the other three out of the other five and showed how it could be understood as either the father's mitzvah or the son's mitzvah. What's the deal with Pidyon? What are we trying to accomplish? What is Pidyon HaBen in general? Yeah. You think it's on the father. Why? What does that mean to redeem his son? So, like, what are other things that we redeem? Let's think about it this way. What are other things that we redeem? What? Oh, well, what types of animals? What? Bechor, right? But pidyon, let's say, peter chamor, right? So, pidyon, peter chamor. What happens if you're not posed with a peter chamor? You have to break its neck, right? It cannot be used for anything else. That peter chamor, the firstborn donkey. So you have to break its neck. It cannot be used for anything else unless you redeem it. If you don't redeem it, it needs to be killed. The concept of pidyon in general, I have kachim. Certain types of kachim you can be posed at. That means that they're usher to be used until you redeem them. Until you give over the money to redeem them, they cannot be used. Is it the same thing for pidyon HaBen? Is there some status that the son has which disqualifies him from being used, doing work in any sense until that pidyon happens? So on the one hand, we haven't heard about this, right? Intuitively, we would say no. But then why are we calling it Pidyon HaBen? How is this a pidyon the way everything else seems to be a pidyon? The name does not seem to fit.
But then why would it be off the 30 days?
Why what?
Why would it only be off
the 30 days? The 30 days seems to be based on Ben Kayama, that we assume that a kid is a viable child after he's been alive for 30 days. That's generally how we, like, where we draw the line. Why don't we say that? I don't know.
Isn't it like before it's supposed to be like first day to make that?
Okay, Asma.
So like they got replaced by the VM.
Oh, so maybe this is the Mahalach and Pidyon HaBen. That maybe Pidyon HaBen is saying Bechor used to be the one who was set aside for Avodat Hashem, and for whatever reason, we know by the Egel, they lost that opportunity that was given to the Kohanim, and later on in Bat Midbar, we had a whole switching ceremony where Kohanim took over for the role Bechor was meant to play. And where is that really highlighted? Where is the earliest place that might even be highlighted for us? Parshas told us that, according to Rashi, that's what they were fighting about. Who is going to represent the family in Avodas HaKorbanos and Avodas Hashem? Who's going to be that guy who stands on the bama to offer Korbanos that it was meant to be the Bechor? So maybe Pidyon HaBen is hearkening back to that ceremony, is the reminder that a Bechor was meant to be the one dedicated to Avodas Hashem, and we need to switch him out. He needs to get to redeem that status. That's one possible perspective on Pidyon HaBen. So we can, Okay, so let's see who says that. First of all, the Sforno on Shmos Yigimel, shocking Sforno, says, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, Sheyitzchayru Kulam Bepidyon Keshar Kol Hekdesh. Pidyon HaBen is, the redemption of a firstborn son is just like Pidyon of Shar Kadjim. Leman Yiyu Mutarim Be'avodas Chol. If you want your son to be able to do anything outside of Avodas HaMikdash, you need to redeem him first. The same way you can't use Kadjim in a normal day-to-day use without being Kodesh, so too for Pidyon HaBen. It's Aser Be'avodas Chol until you pay the 5 shekels, 100 grams of silver. Shalulei Pidyon Hayu Asurim La'asos Kol Melechas Chol. If not for this redemption, the Sforno says, it would be Aser for a firstborn son to do any sort of plebeian non-kadosh avoda. Shocking thing. Not only the Sforno, the Aruch HaShulchan has this also. The Aruch HaShulchan is talking about a funny Lashon that we actually do say, the Gaonim. The Torah brings down the Lashon of the Gaonim. What is the conversation the Kohen has with the father by Pidyon HaBen? One of the lines that the Kohen says to the father is, my ba'is fei. What does my ba'is fei mean? He has the kid on a platter, literally a platter in front of him. There's like jewelry all over, I think, according to the, I don't know if that's a Sephardi minhag or the standard minhag. But the kid is on a platter in front of the father and the, what? I did. We had the platter at my wife's party, so you had it also. So I guess it's standard. Are you like Sephardi at all? Or just, okay, so I guess it's standard minhag. The kid on the tray with the jewelry and the stuff and sitting in front of the father and the Kohen. The Kohen says to the father, my ba'is fei. So what does that mean? My? What? Ba'i? No, ba'i. Like, what's ba'i? Need, want, or ask. So my ba'i is fei, which one do you want? Fei is more. The Kohen literally asks the father, which one do you want more? Do you want to hold on to your 5 slime, your 100 grams of silver, or would you rather have your son back? It's a funny question. the obvious question is, do I really have the option of saying, you know what, I'll keep my money, you keep the kid, I'm going to go home and have a good night's sleep for the first time in a month. That does not seem to actually be an option which is on the table. So what is the Kohen saying? My ba'is tvei. What is that question? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is in Shin Hei, Sif, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin. He starts the question Lamed Dalet, but he answers in Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin. He says, V'emes kein hu, Shehem, a Bechor, a firstborn son, is Kadosh LaHashem, Kechol HaKadshim, Shasu Lehem La'asos Dvar Chulin, V'achilasim V'chol Ma'asem B'Kedusha. He even goes beyond what the Sforno said. All their avoda at this point needs to be B'Kedusha. Their achila needs to be B'Kedusha. Kol Ma'asem needs to be B'Kedusha. If they have not yet been redeemed, if they did not have Pidyon, they are Kadosh LaHashem. And in order for them to be able to exist in normal life, the father needs to, they need to be redeemed. So my bias fei is not saying, would you rather leave the kid by me or give me the money? It's saying, do you want your kid to be able to engage, to be able to live in the world, or would you rather keep your money? That's our Chazal's shot. But again, he reinforces this foreigner's idea, this shocking suggestion that this kid is Kadosh LaHashem, he can't do anything in his life until he's been redeemed. So that's one side. That's one side of the perspective. That's one side of the coin. What's the other approach? What's the other possibility? This was that, let's say it's the son's mitzvah. The son has this status of Kedusha, Kadosh LaHashem, just like all other Kadoshim, and he needs to be redeemed. The father is the one who's going to do that practically, but it seems like it's on the son. It's the status that the son is currently existing in. The other perspective is the father's mitzvah. What might undergird, what might be behind the father having this mitzvah to redeem his firstborn son? So I think one nice way to get at there, to appreciate what that might be saying, is to look at the Rambam. When the Rambam categorizes, where should the Rambam have put the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? If you were the Rambam writing the Arach HaZaka, where would you put? What? Okay, together with Bris Mila, that's a good one. Bris Mila is in Ava, so maybe add it as the final parak of Bris Mila. Good suggestion. Not what he does. What? Where in Kadshim? Oh, Okay, not Meister, that's more Karka stuff. But you're along the same lines. The Rambam puts Hilchos Bikurim together with Matnos Kehuna. Matnos Kehuna, which are not Talui Ba'aryeh. And here's the list. Here's the list of other mitzvot which he puts in the same section. Number one. Hilchos Bikurim. Yeah, Hilchos Bikurim includes the following mitzvot. So Hafrish Bikurim u'alosim b'mikdash, to set aside Bikurim from your fields and bring them to your Yerushalayim. Shalo yochal kohen. Fine. L'kros aleihem l'hafrish. Number two. L'hafrish chala l'kohen. Chala min ha'isa. Number three. L'itein lo reishis hagev. The first shearing of your sheep, the wool that comes off, the first bunch of wool that should go to the kohen. Then we get livdos v'chor haben v'litain pidjono l'kohen, and livdos pater chamor v'litain pidjono l'kohen. So what context does the Rambam put pidjon haben in? What are the other mitzvot which are put in the same category? Other pidjons, more than just other pidjons, chala, right? Chala is not a pidjon, but what is it? What? Yeah, very good. Giving to the Kohen, giving a first to the Kohen, right? Bikurim, my first fruit. The Reish Zageh, yeah, Reish Zageh is the first of the wool. The Petr Chamor, all these things I'm sacrificing first. The father is, everybody in certain contexts is meant to give the first thing, the most precious thing that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of those incredibly precious things is first, something that we worked so hard for, we're so excited about. We're meant to give those first to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam puts Pidyon HaBen in that context. The Rambam, we saw in the Kotaret, within the Yad, how does the Rambam present? In the Yad, this is how I get out of the Hilchos Bikurim. Mitzvah Saseh, lift those, call Ish Yisrael Bino, Shehu Bechor Li'imo Yisraelis. Who is the focus of the Mitzvah on for the Rambam? Call Ish Yisrael, lift those as Bino. The Mitzvah is for the father to redeem his son. Not that there's a mitzvah for the son to be redeemed, it's for the father to redeem the son. When you put it together with the context, I think it becomes very strong. The Rambam thinks this is not that the son has to be redeemed, but rather the father has a mitzvah to do the redeeming. What is the significance of that? It makes a lot of sense. The father was just blessed with his first child, and similar to all these other sacrificial firsts that we have, the challah and the Bikurim, things like that, the father is directed to give that son up to Hashem, the Kohen representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to buy it back, symbolically buy that back, but to at least make the statement, Hashem, this son really belongs to you. The father's mitzvah. So this potential machlokas, is it about the son, is it about the father, is it about a status of Kedusha, or is it about giving up a first to Hashem, might be reflected by a fundamental question. What is the son's status? Let's say a father passes away and did not do Pidyon HaBen. What's the son's status between day 30 and year 13? Right, day 30, you're supposed to get that Pidyon. It didn't happen. The father passed away. And year 13, he becomes a bar mitzvah. He becomes chayav to do it himself. What is the status of the mitzvah in between that period? Is there a mitzvah that can't be fulfilled? Is there no mitzvah at all? Is there a mitzvah not only that should be fulfilled, do we find somebody else to do it? A grandfather, Bezdin, somebody else who tried to step into that role? Or do we say, no, this is the son's mitzvah, let's have him do it when he becomes of age? If it's on the son, what does that mean about the interim period? That means that it's a status of Kedusha, right?
Yeah.
A status of Kedusha, that needs to be taken care of. Right? We don't want this kid walking around as a kadosh for Hashem, doing malacha, doing avodas chol. He needs to be taken care of it right away. Beautiful. If it's on the father, it needs to be put on somebody who can actually give up that first Hashem. If that's not Shaya for whatever reason, that didn't happen, that's only going to step into, that's only going to come into play. It's only meaningful if it's the father doing it, or if the son is going to take over for the father. For a Bezdin to step in and do that doesn't even seem to make any sense. And we know that for Bris Mila, there's a Chiv on Bezdin too. To do Bris Mila for a son who didn't, for a kid who did not get a Bris Mila, the Molachem Kol Zachar, there's a special pasuk quoted for it. Not nearly as clear if Bezdin is meant to get involved for Pidyon HaBen. It's a big machlokes, and it seems to be based on this question. Is it about the son's status of Kedusha? If yes, then we want to take care of that as soon as possible. If it's about the father's Nisina, it's about the father giving up the son, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would seem to be able to wait until the son is Ben Yud Gimel, and he can take care of that himself. So that is the machlokes between between the Shach Likudas HaKesef on the one hand, and the Taz on the other hand, the Taz and the Madani Yantif on Bechoros, Bechoros Zayin Yiralef, or Ches Yiralef, where is it? Yeah, Madani Yantif Ches Yizayin. Ches Yizayin, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to say this way also. So both of these opinions are actually reflected in Halacha. We see both sides. Is it on the Son? Is it on the Father? We see both of these perspectives. The Taz says... Yeah, the Taz says that it's the Father's Messina, it's the Father giving up, and therefore the mitzvah only is Chal later on. The Shach and the Kudas HaKesef, commenting on that Taz Yidalis and Shemhei, say that it's addressing this reality of Kedusha Saben, that he's Kadosh Hashem, and therefore we want it taken care of as soon as possible. Even after. Which one? Nikudas HaKesef. Is the Shach commenting? What? Nikudas HaKesef. Is the commentary the Shach wrote on the Taz. Yes. Yeah. Versus the Taz and Madani Yantif who say no. that could be one practical machlokes in halacha, which seems to be based on this chiluk in perspective. Is it about the Son's objective reality? Is it about the Father giving up his first? Yeah. So we should also be able to locate these two perspectives, not only in the machlokesim, and not only in the perspective, but even in the psukim that are quoted to back up the mitzvah. When does the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen come up in the Torah? How many times is it discussed? It's actually a surprising number. There's much more than one. Let's say one of the principal sources is in Korach. The context of Korach is after Korach challenges the Kahuna. We respond, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by affirming the role that the Kahuna plays in Am Yisrael. And one of the things they talk about at the end of Parshas Korach is the Manas Kahuna. So mentioned there is the idea of Pidyon HaBen. What does that seem to... Okay, that's one. Another time is in the let's say, leading up to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, what was the relevance of Bechor by Yetzias Mitzrayim? Well... At that point, they were really serving as Kohanim, but like it could be that this is part of what gave them the status. Makas Bechorios. Hashem says, the fact that I saved all of the Jewish Bechorios from Makas Bechorios means there's a Kinyan, there's a Kedusha, which is Chal on them, and they need to be redeemed, Kadesh Li, called Bechor, Petah, Kol Rechem, Ibn Yisrael, because of that event, because of what happened there. So there's the historical event of Kedushas Bechor, of Hashem being Kona, the Bechor, because of Makas Bechoros, and then there's the Nesina LeKohen of Parshas Korach. It also shows up in Parshas Kizisa, it shows up in another context as well. But let's take those two sets of Sukkim. If the point is Kadosh Li Kol Bechor, if the point is that there's a status of Kedusha, which is Chal, on the Kohana because of Makas Bechoros, what does that reflect, or which side of the Chasira would that fall under? Very good. The objective reality of the mitzvah on the Son, we need to take care of the status of Kedusha. We need to make sure it gets passed on. Even if that was what was Mitzchalel by the Egal Zav, still, that's what we're referencing, that's what we're taking care of by giving the money. On the other hand, if we're looking at the Matnos Kahuna, if we're looking at Pidyon HaBen, as one of the things which is given to a Kohen, well, you know, other things are given to a Kohen as well. The Chala, the Bikurim, things like that, it would be part of that broader class, the sacrificial first. That would be the father's mitzvah. That would be the other perspective. There's also seems to be a machlokas about a female kohenes. Can a female kohenes receive money for the Pidyon HaBen? The Aruch HaShulchan says no. Tosos and Kedushin, I think on Ches, says yes. What might that be based on? So what is the difference between a female kohen and a male kohen? There are a lot of them. But what's one?
Did you not receive them?
It seems like most manas kohenes, she actually is allowed to. She is able to receive. What? That's true, but in terms of her function as part of the Sheva Kahuna. Very good. A female Kohen can never serve, can never actually do the Avodah. But what does she still represent? She is still part of the Sheva Kahuna. She's still part of that family, and therefore she can receive most of the Pidyonos. So if Pidyon HaBen is giving to the Shevet of Kahuna, is almost giving up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sacrificial first, just like everything else, all the other sacrificial first, then no problem, give it to a female Kohen just the same as giving it to a male Kohen. However, if the point is a reference to the Avodah, a reference to the Kedusha the Bechor was supposed to enjoy because of either Matas Bechoros or just that was the status of Bechoros in general, they were supposed to be the Kohanim before Kohanim came into existence, then who should I have to give the money to? The person who replaced this Bechor. It would have to go to a natural Kohen who's doing the Avodah as opposed to going to a female Kohen. So maybe that Lachlokas also reflects the exact same two sides. Is it about just giving to the Sheva Kahuna, or is it about giving to a Kohen himself who's right to do the Avodah? So we see both of these perspectives. I was excited to find, I was spending a lot of time on this obviously when I was preparing for my son Pidyon Ben. That's where it was actually really cool. I had all these notes from then. Pidyon Ben is like a one-time thing. you don't really get multiple shots. You don't really get multiple chances. So I spent a lot of time putting all these notes together. I was like, what's my speech going to be, whatever. And then you never really get to come back to them. So I was excited. I was gratified that I got to come back to like that whole set of notes that I put together. And almost all of this is from the notes that I did 3 and a bit years ago, which is pretty exciting. When I was looking around then, I found that the Yalkut Yosef, this incredible sefer, has in one of the notes, he actually has this exact chiluk. He says that the different mechayvim, you could say, of Pidyon HaBen correlate beautifully to the two sides, to the two perspectives on the mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah al HaBen? Is it a mitzvah al HaAv? That correlates, that corresponds to, is the mitzvah about the status as the Ovdei Hashem that the Bechor was supposed to have, either because of Machas Bechoros or because that was the status they had, like we see in Toldos, or is it about the sacrificial first? So Sefer HaChinuch actually says the sacrificial first idea is supposed to be a Chinuch Chaburah. So we're bringing in the Sefer HaChinuch. So in Shin, it was in Yud Ches, and he references, in Shin Tzadi Beis or something, he references Mitzvah Yud Ches and says, what is Kedushas Bechor? What is Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBen is, first of all, he says the sacrificial first. He says that a Kohen, the father is giving up his first fruit, a form of Bikurim Sakadosh Baruch Hu. Fits very nicely with the Rambam. He says that it's a mitzvah on the father. It's a Rambam perspective. So that fits very nicely with that idea. He also has the second reason. He also says that it's a Zecher to what happened in Mitzrayim with the Bechoros. So the primary seems to be that first one, that it's a sacrificial first, which correlates beautifully. Yafit Yosef says that your two perspectives are going to be based on how you see the mitzvah. Is the mitzvah maybe primarily about aspect A, then you'll say mitzvah al-Ben. If it's about aspect B, you'll say mitzvah al-Ha'av. Obviously, I think it's fine to say that both are true, that both elements are built into the mitzvah and have complex kavanah, have multiple kavanahs when you're doing this mitzvah. Think about both elements, both aspects, when you're doing it. You don't really have time. There's a really cool sefer that brought in called Mishmeres Chaim. It's like this small pocket-sized sefer from Reb Chaim Pinchas Steinberg. It's like a collection of the Thursday night chaburas, mishmars that they did. It's like very short, lumdish, brisker Torahs. Like, it's like really short chilukim, and I think it's like a great read, a great thing to learn. It's very, very cool. So in one of his pieces, he talks about this. The reason I wanted to talk about it is because it really highlights, number one, it's very much Sefer HaChinuch oriented, but also like is a surprising read, or is a surprising demonstration of Tanya Mitzvot, of applying Tanya Mitzvot. He compares and contrasts Bris Mila and Pidyon HaBen. This is in the third Chelek, Pidyon HaBen Aleph. Says that we know, at least for the Rambam, for Bris Mila, once the kid becomes 13 years old, the Chiyuv leaves the father and is fully on the son. The Rambam's perspective, and there's a lot to argue about that, but the Rambam says in Parashat Mishnayos that it's no longer on the father, it's fully on the son. On the other hand, the Sefer HaChinuch is explicit that for Pidyon HaBen, even after the son is past the age of 13, it's still a mitzvah on the father. So Steinberg asks, what's the difference? Why should Bris Mila leave the father and be fully on the son for Mila? But for Pidyon HaBen, it remains on the father even after the age of 13. So he says, well, this is the Rambam Moshe Rechanat, yeah. So he tries suggesting that it's based on the Pesukim, but he says you can go a little deeper than just the Pesukim. The Pesukim by Bris Mila were between Avram and Yitzchak, and that was when the son was a Katan, whereas Pidyon HaBen was general, just you have to be pro to your sons. But he says, take it even a step deeper. What is the point? What's the goal, the purpose of the mitzvah? He says the goal of Bris Mila, and this is debated, we spoke about this when we spoke about Bris Mila, the goal of Mila is to not be an Ariel. It's for the son to no longer be an Ariel. So mitzvah al-Ben, for the son to not be uncircumcised. So when the kid is not able to take care of himself, so we give it to the father. But once the kid is able to take over, it's the son's mitzvah. It's the essence. It's really for the son to make sure he's not an Ariel. However, what is the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? Now, which side is he going to take, right? If he's trying to justify the father remaining involved, even past the age of 13, what's Rosh Scheinberg going to say? What's Zev Rachenov going to say? Well, right, but why? What's the perspective on Pidyon HaBen that he must be based on? Which aspect, which of our two sides focuses on the father as opposed to on the son? We have our sacrificial first, and we have our status of Kedusha. Sacrificial first, exactly. It says that he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch as saying, the point is the sacrificial first, so of course it's for the father to continue. Even if the son is 25, 35, doesn't really matter. Whenever the father gets around to giving up the sacrificial first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the point of the mitzvah. So we saw that there's what to talk about for both of those, both for Bris Milah and for Pidyon HaBen. You could say as both sides, you could say it's a mitzvah HaBen, you could say it's a mitzvah HaAv. What was interesting is the fact that Rav Sandberg was using the Tam HaMitzvah to explain the Dini HaMitzvah. That's something which we usually don't see, or we theoretically don't see, when we're dealing with Tam HaMitzvot. So the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Sefer himself in the intro, you are not meant to use my reasons, the suggested reasons, to affect halacha. What's funny is that Rav Sandberg seems to have done just that. He seems to have trying to explain the halachic setup of a mitzvah based on the Tam. I always get excited when I see that. I'm a big Tam HaMitzvot guy. I like to see examples of that. It really stresses how important it is to understand what the core of the mitzvah is, what the shoresh might be, what the Tam might be. And again, we don't change the practice because of this, but to know that it's a fundamental part of the Aseiyas HaMitzvah, I thought that was stressed pretty nicely by this piece in Mishmaris Chayim. Okay, so we spoke about really all the five mitzvahs of Aval HaBen, that each of them can really be broken down, or four to five can be broken down. Is it the son's mitzvah or the father's mitzvah? And we did a deeper dive into Pidyon HaBen, inspired by Parshas Toldos and the fight over the Bechorah. Is Pidyon HaBen about the status of Kedusha, that surprising sporn of the Aruch HaShulchan, or is it about the father's sacrificial first? The answer is obviously both, but we saw different manifestations of that in a couple of different areas of Allah. Go ahead.